Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome to Project Mastery's Real Estate Coaching Call. We do this every week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. 2 p.m. Eastern time, everything in between or either side. I'm Bill Gross at Bill Gross Probate. I'm a practitioner in real estate here in Los Angeles, California, building a national team across the country. But I am a practitioner, and I've been on these calls as a colleague from the beginning. And then at some point when the teacher wasn't available, stepped in, decided to lead this going forward. The goal of this is to get together every week and share what's working, what's not working, questions, the supplement. And the idea is this is built on the Probate Mastery content. I was a student of the prior owner. I'm a student of this one, paid for it both times and took other classes. And so we want to help you be more effective as you build your probate business. This is related to probatemastery.com as a website. If you go, there's a couple different tracks. There's the basics for free. I always recommend that. Second, get certified. I've been certified through this program and the prior version of it. And then course bundles for additional course content, and check out that for details. And then if you want to continue the Facebook community, we have a Facebook group, which is Estate Professionals Mastermind. I think Facebook had some sort of login issues today. There we go. We did it. So there you go. Estate Professionals Mastermind. And we have 7,000 members come in here, and we'll promote our program, as well as you can ask questions, look for referrals for agents, attorneys across the country. Separately, I host Probate Weekly every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. If you're interested, go to probateweekly.com or bring this page, put your email in, and you can register for reminders or scroll below if you want to go to your favorite audio platforms or the YouTube channel as well. And then I have a Facebook group as well, Probate Weekly. And you can go here not only to ask for referrals across the country for attorneys or agents, but post your probate-related content to help you get more views and posts and likes and all that good stuff. My link tree for more information from me is linktr.ee/Bill Gross, and that's where you can find everything on me. So this is meant to be participative. I can tell you, you make more money if your video's on. You make more money if you ask questions and help other people along the way, though you should feel free to also put questions in the chat box. And love to help you guys today. I always have content I can talk about. I could, you know, it's funny, I was talking to a professional coach who does podcasts. She launches podcasts for agents. So she interviewed me. And I said to her, you know, you could wake me at 3 a.m. and I could probably just wash my face and do an hour talk on probate. And you could wake me the next day and I could do it all over again with a different content. And I think when you find your passion is something you want to talk about, the fact that you don't want to talk about it means you haven't done it enough to feel comfortable and or haven't yet found that spot that you're really comfortable in. So I want to urge you all to find that place, and we're here to help you find that along the way. And then I think in anything, when you grow and build something, along the way you're going to have setbacks. You're going to have, you might call failures. I would call them setbacks. I would call them, you'll fall down. You got to get back up. There's a famous Jewish saying that says that the righteous fall down 7 times and the evil fall down but once. What that means is people who fall down once and make conclusions also want to drag down other people. 7 is a number for eternal, meaning that the righteous people are constantly falling down, but they improve. They get back up and try again and improve. Fall down, get back up and try again and improve. And so in the process of probate, I often get asked, what's the easiest way to build a probate business? And I always say, I don't know. And I wouldn't look for that. It's the wrong question to ask. The right question is, what's the path that will help me learn, grow, create more value for my customers so I'll get more out of it and bring more to my customers, which ultimately means we get paid. So that's kind of an overview of my philosophy. Who wants to share questions, challenges, problems, setbacks, victories? Love to have you be participative. And again, the thing I want to remind you is the more you participate, the more money you make. So who'd like to jump in? Anybody? I mean, I have a lot to talk about, but I don't want it to be all about me. Anybody here do some reach out recently or get a, I got a I will say, got a nice past client of a probate. You don't often get more probates, but it turns out past client had the wife's brother. I was mostly dealing with the husband, so his brother-in-law, but the wife's brother turns out had a house in the same neighborhood here in Southern California. He's out of Northern California. And it's not really a probate, it's a trust, but there's a little bit of a hiccup on it. And so they called me up and listed that property. So that's kind of exciting for me. Who else? How are we doing? How's business? We don't have to do the call because we're interested. I know we have less people on because reminder email didn't go out, and I'm not sure what that's about. And I put a note into the support team. So hopefully we'll get that straightened away for next time. But for those of you on the call, here's a chance. You know, I get asked, I'll tell you what's funny about this phone call. I get asked about coaching probate all the time. Literally, I want to say every day. Literally less than an hour ago, I was talking to somebody who's a real estate agent who says, you saw my videos and saw my YouTube channel and that's what he was talking about and blah, 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 which is all great. And says, well, do I do you know, personal one-on-one coaching? And I said, I really don't. But for free, you can come on this call. And so really, it's funny to me that, you know, there are people who would spend $500 or $1,000 a month to get coached. Literally, this is free. I mean, it's the same questions, it's the same process you would get. I coached within you know, major real estate company systems and got paid $1,000 a month just for coaching them. And I give you more time here for free than those that were paying me. So feel free if you have questions, I'm here to help you. How can I help you guys? Anybody?
Hi, Bill. My name is Desiree King.
Hey, Desiree.
I'm on camera. I'm just not able to come on camera right now.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm a real estate agent here in Ontario, Canada. So,
oh, Canada, our home.
That's right. Oh, yeah, things are a bit different here when it comes to going to the courts and obtaining information. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that I've been reaching out to funeral directors, and I actually have an appointment with one on this coming Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know, have you ever made that type of outreach, and do you have any, you know, tips and or, you know, suggestions on what that conversation? I already have an idea. I have a PowerPoint that I'm working on in case they do ask for something more formalized just to keep me on track. But do you have anything to share with that? And I say that because I specialize in working with seniors. So I guess the full continuum of aging from mm-hmm. helping find places to live, whether it be retirement villages, retirement homes, or downsizing, even bringing in care for aging in place straight through till helping executors. So do you have anything to share on that?
Maybe a little bit. I don't necessarily have a shortcuts. I'll share with you my experience in that area. For one, I lost both my parents and I'm married. We lost both my wife's parents and other family members. And so I've been through that process personally more than I would like. I'm also a religious Jew, and we tend to support each other when we lose our parents by going to the funeral. And so I've probably been around more funeral homes than the average realtor by 10 times, just because that's the nature of our kind of our life and my age, you combine the two. I did in a networking group meet a sales rep, and I'm not asking that the right term, but it's kind of functionally what they are. Like one of the largest mortuary services in Southern California, Forest Lawn. And actually was able to do an interview with her on my YouTube channel. And my thinking was I would kind of start a process. And I think like a lot of companies, they have their restrictions and their processes. And I might be better off with a smaller firm than a large firm. And I'm busy with what I'm working on. That's not really my specialty. And so it didn't really go too far from there. But I would say that, like everybody, you know, they have their business needs and they have their service to their customer needs. And if you can help them, they're going to want to help you with your business. So, you know, I have not pursued it past that point, but I'm pretty busy doing other things. And so it's not that it wouldn't be productive. It's just you got to pick your fights. And that just wasn't one that I was going to take on. I think it's great. I think that to some people it sounds creepy, and to other people like me, it sounds like being very sensitive and of high service to people at a time that they need somebody who's helping them. I've also had a number of probates where the decedent was still in the mortuary because they had the money to get him out and do anything with him. And it's expensive. And I've also been able to help people get advances on their probate to get $10,000 to get the decedent out and get them buried. I had one young woman who was inheriting a $500,000 property. She was probably in her 20s, literally impoverished, made a living as a caregiver, which usually means you make like poverty wages, and on food stamps and other social programs. And her aunt died, the aunt that raised her, she considered like a mother. And she was already in a probate for another family member, but it wasn't going to close for about 3 or 4 months. And I was able to get her in advance. And she said, you know, I was able to get her out of the mortuary, get her in a funeral home, do a proper service. And I just felt so proud that I was able to do that for somebody who did so much for me. And it wasn't the money I made from the advance as much as the pride of feeling them really help this young woman do what she felt was like an ultimate act of kindness. So I would say probate advance is another area you might want to get involved with to help people financially get through that, because sometimes the money's tied up. People have, you know, there's a statistic like 80% of Americans, different for Canada, maybe worse, 80% of Americans don't have $1,000 in the bank. And so if you need money for, you know, funeral home and a purse and flowers and a proper service, you know, it can add up really fast. If you're able to effectuate that, then that's a service you're providing to your customers.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, that's the angle. Like I've done it quite a bit already without, actually the first person I approached was through us being at a funeral and we were doing the video, my husband and I were doing the videography for the streaming, and the director approached us about that. And I kind of used it as a segue.
Yeah.
That one I didn't get into because it was more for corporate, like they have many locations. And when I spoke to him, he said, no, it's a great idea, but you know, the corporate structure, as you know, is different. So I approached more family-owned ones that have aftercare programs that are not sales-based, just gentle touches to see what they need. So that was kind of my approach. Nothing aggressive, nothing predatory. Just saying, you know, if there's a widow at home, you know, does she need help? A lot of times people have a difficulty disposing of their loved ones' clothing and stuff like that. So it's more coming from that angle and then seeing where it goes by making that connection with the family.
You know, I think you're on the right track. The goal is always, the North Star should always be, how can I be of service or value? Mm-hmm. And then put together those services.
Right.
And I also think if I have one critique of people who go through the probate mastery training, and I have to go back and look, I don't know if it's because they're directed this way or this is how we as salespeople naturally go to, we tend to kind of spit out all the things we do rather than stop and ask questions and find out what they need and then offer that. And so I think, you know, if I was a videographer and I had a chance to do the work for a funeral home, I think I'd find somebody who would do it and put them together and make it me somehow, because I wouldn't want to lose that relationship. I'd want to be involved in it. And I can just tell you that my business, while not funeral home based, the answer is always yes. And I'll give you one example. I called an attorney who I did some probate work with, and he said to me, do I know somebody who could be a fiduciary to manage an estate and one who had experience in property management? Turns out I had a great candidate. I sent him to him. Then they're having problems with the bank. Well, I happen to know a great bank that helps, that works well with these trusts. And while they were struggling with bank A, bank B got everything approved and the bank accounts are being opened up. And then we find out now they're a problem with the savings company that has their assets and they want some help with that company. Well, I know people at that bank too. So I think the answer is always, yeah, I can help you with that. And that just deepens the relationship. And sometimes, you know, it means you pull some of your Rolodex, and sometimes it means you research and find the right person to solve the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And I do usually make the approach as same as when I visit care facilities of what I have a questionnaire, like what are your challenges? And I kind of, once I listen to all of that and I gather the information, then I start making suggestions on how to solve it. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Desiree. All right, there we go. Visitor from Canada. She flew in and flew out. Oh, Canada. I'll sing. If you guys don't ask me another question, I will sing the Canadian National Anthem. And I'm not going to promise to do it on key. So it's up to you.
I was going
to
ask for it in French as well.
In French, I don't do it in French. That's funny. That's a good one. Yeah, I'm not not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of Canada. I have to be honest with you. To me, Canada is really the people who wanted to be under British leadership during the Revolutionary War. So, yeah, the French were actually our allies and helped us beat the British. So, in some regards, I know the French are the minority, and there's a whole civil war going on up there. But to some degree, they were our ally, helped us become free. Otherwise, Canadians are really people who wanted to be under British rule, didn't want their own personal freedom, and weren't willing to fight for it. Did I just insult the whole country? I think I did. I'm sorry about that. That's...
It's all good. I don't represent the whole country. So.
There you go. There you go. Okay, good. I just finished rewatching John Adams on streaming. A great book, amazing book, and saw the TV series again. So my Revolutionary War juices are stirred up again. Okay, who else has a question, challenge, problem? Russ Thompson has his hand up. Let's get you... I'm muted, and how can we help you?
I just thought, you know, I've been doing this only for maybe 5-6 months now. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I've been tracking my pupil. You know, it seemed like when I start off early on, you know, once I have a relationship, or at least I was able to talk to people, it seemed like after a while they sort of don't pick up their phone anymore. And I don't know if it's me or if it's just the fact they're inundated with all kinds of people chasing them here in Florida. But I went ahead and tried something a little different the other day, and I went door knocked on one of the people which I've been chatting with on and off. And I was a little shocked because I'm not a high pressure guy, but I walked over there, and the daughter came to the door and told me I was being too pushy. And that sort of set me back because I didn't consider myself a pushy person at all. But I'm just wondering, how is that effective, you think, going around trying to meet the people in person, just knocking on the door without, you know, inviting, I guess, you know, getting an invite from them?
How would you feel if I knocked on your door and said, "Hi, I'm a probate real estate agent. I understand you filed a probate here in Florida, and I'd like to offer assistance and list your property for sale." How would you feel if it came to your door?
You know, I wasn't really pushing the property for sale. I'm just trying to establish some kind of relationship with them. It depends. You know, some people would feel okay. I think some people would be a little upset about it.
Okay. So, you know, I think that you know, we get feedback, and you have to take it into account. And so everybody would like a friendly neighbor to come by and meet. Nobody wants a salesman to come knock on their door. Everybody would like a friendly voice of support on the phone. Nobody likes a cold caller. And so now you might say, well, often enough appreciated that it makes a living for me. Okay, that's a judgment you can make. I found most people don't like a phone call. Therefore, I aspired to get out of making cold calls. And so personally, I rather, especially with social media today, I believe you can meet people and connect with them and stay in touch with them in a way that you shouldn't need to cold call people. You should be able to meet people who want to work with you. That said, there are people cold call and start and build a great business as a result of it. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just sharing with you my particular choice, which was to say, I'd rather be the person people reach out to because they need me. I also think that it sets up the business to be more successful, meaning as real estate agents and as a listing agent in particular, we all have a challenge of justifying our commissions and justifying the price, right? Every seller wants to pay a lower commission, and every seller wants to list the price for higher than it makes sense. And our job as people is to help them appreciate our value, i.e. commission, and to appreciate our insight and advice, i.e. price the property properly. I find it's a lot easier to do those two things with people who reach out to me than it is for people that I cold call or door knock. And so, and this is a long answer to a short question, but I think that it seems like you're making more progress than you are when you cold call or cold door knock, because you're talking to people, which is good. But the measure is happy customers who close deals with you and refer you other people. And I find that path much harder, focusing on cold calling and cold doors, whereas going to, you know, real estate investment clubs, networking, starting with people you already know, like, and trust, and already know, like, and trust you, and this is where most agents fall short, is they don't even start with their current database. And I know I sound like an evangelical preacher on the subject when I talk about this, but it's only because I believe it so much that I talk to real estate agents every day who are out cold calling, and they have a database with 300, 500, 700, 1,000 or more people that they're not engaging with at all. And now you're just on a rat on a wheel that's never ending rather than building a business. So anyhow, it's a long way of saying, if it's working for you, track your numbers. If it works for you, rest, continue. But I would say in the long run for most people, make sure you've tightened up with the people you already know, like, and trust before you start cold calling. Okay? Okay, sounds like he's muted, so we'll say thank you and move on. Anybody else? Questions, comments, challenges?
Thank you. I'm unmuted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Or anybody else, when I talk about that subject, you know, again, I'm not against cold calling or cold door knocking. What I'm against is anything until you first master communicating with people you already know, like, and trust. You got to start with that and then add to that. And then I think if you do that properly, you'll find more business there than you probably can handle.
How do you feel about sending them letters?
Well, again, it depends. It depends on where you are, right? And I think that that's always the first question is, you know, it's not what's going to work for me. It's what's working for you. I'm in Los Angeles, California. I'm in a very competitive ultra metro of all of LA. I'm in the center metro area. I'm in West Los Angeles. And one of the most competitive real estate markets in the country. And I noticed you're from New Haven, South Haven, Michigan. I don't know where the heck that is. It's Michigan, I suppose. But is that right outside Detroit, or is it more rural or more suburban? And how competitive is your county? How competitive is your market? I've mailed, and I found it to be very expensive and very competitive. I'm the fiduciary. I'm the petitioner on some probates recently, just filed one, and I already got a couple pieces of mail. It's funny, and I get mail from other realtors. It's kind of interesting to learn and see what they do. So to answer your question, I know in my area, let me back up. When I see on another coaching company, they recommend 5 or 6 pieces. At a minimum, just a postcard is $1 a piece. A mailer could be $2 or $3 or more. Times 5 or 6, let's say $1 piece times 6 is $6, times how many leads a month, it adds up. And so you need to track that and see how many leads you get as a result of those mailers. I would say test it, track it, and see how those numbers add up for you. For most people, I think you'll find cold mailing is very expensive. Personally, okay. I only mailed attorneys that I already have a relationship with. I send postcards out about once a month, about maybe 45 days sometimes, to people I already know and have talked to and know who I am, not to strangers.
Okay. So basically, I mean, I don't know how to do market research on how many people are reaching out to probates, but so I'm the one that was on the call the other day when I was driving that I went to the county and was handwriting some. So I want to test like the 50 people I have. So never reaching out to probates before, if it's not recommended to mail, it's not recommended to cold call, what do you do with them?
Well, what do I do with them, or what do I do for my business? Those are two different questions.
Oh, well, both. I mean, you got to get started somehow, right?
So yes.
I went and got some leads, and the petitioners, you know, their phone numbers are right there. So I have the property address of the descent name, the petitioner's name, the petitioner's phone number, and the petitioner's address. So what is it recommended to do to start communicating with these people to start to try bringing leads in? Are you going out? Oh, is Frankie here?
Well, okay. So again, the answer is going to vary based on who you are and where you are. Then, so I would
like
mail
I said,
presents
I've never
probably
reached out to a probate person before.
Right. And so you, if it's in your budget to mail out 5 or 6 times those 50 people, right? So 6 times 50 is 300. If it's in your budget to invest $300, I might mail out a postcard for 5 or 6 months and see what kind of reaction. Now, you can count how many call you, and you can also count, you can call them and see what your response is. So you, that would be a test market to see for you in your market, how that would work. And you would track those results. I think second of all, you have the list of who the petitioners, I imagine the same list is going to have who the attorneys are. Well, that's good data to know which attorneys are active and which ones are not in your market area. And so those attorneys that you might consider marketing to as well, you might find out of 50 cases, you might only have, you might have 10 or 20 that are pro per representing themselves. And the remaining 30, I'm just making up numbers. You might have, you know, one who does 10, two that do 5. You might only have a total of 8 attorneys in total. And so now you have a defined set of what you're working towards as far as attorneys. I wouldn't cold call them and asking them for referrals. I would reach out to them to offer them something of value. So what I do and what I did was I call those attorneys and say, hey, I'm Bill Gross. I'm a real estate agent specializing in probate. I see you're a probate-focused attorney. I was wanting to see if you'd be interested in being interviewed on my YouTube channel. I interview attorneys like you to learn about probate and share that with my database of clients. I put it on YouTube and Facebook. It's free. Would you be interested? Most say yes. Some say no. And as a result, I started interviewing attorneys. And then over time, you know, they saw the number one, and here's the key to this. By interviewing them, I learned more about probate than anybody else. Just the interview act itself, I could ask whatever questions I wanted. I ask questions that I would know the answer to. And that could be about the probate process, or it could be about their business. And then second, I start a relationship with them. Now I'm not a cold caller. Now I have their email address, and they're included in my social media, and they see my videos and such. So that's what I did. So you have the data. It doesn't mean you cold call them and say, hi, send me business. To me, that would be like going on a dating app and saying to a woman, can we be intimate? And I know that's a crass way of saying it. That's kind of what you do when you ask an attorney, refer me your client. It's kind of like getting intimate with them before the relationship has been established.
And I think that's it.
That's the wrong approach. And so the opposite is I would do what I can to help you, which would be to maybe interview you, or, hey, I noticed you're doing an estate planning seminar. I'd like to invite some clients, or can I come by and see it myself? And that way, I need clients to refer to estate planning seminars. I could then refer them to yours effectively. Are you okay with me coming? That's another thing that I did was I would look and see what marketing they were doing and try to help them with their marketing. That's what I would do.
And I'm assuming you don't recommend texting these people either, because that's almost the same as a cold call.
I would not cold text anyone. Let me ask you, when you get cold texted by a vendor, like a lender, or you get cold texted by a realtor lead source or by anybody, do you appreciate cold text, or do you feel like that's a little bit of an invasion and a waste of time?
It depends on how they actually come across in the text message.
Okay. Hey, if you think it's good, then I would make sure I come across in a way that people will think is good.
Right.
Personally, I think most people find cold text approaching inappropriate. So I don't want to start the relationship. And I think the challenge you have is, and I'm making an assumption here, that your market's smaller than mine, that I wouldn't want to burn bridges with attorneys in my first contact with them to be a cold call or cold text that will offend them, because they're forever then going to think of me as just one of those realtors. My whole goal
texting the attorneys. I was talking about cold texting the petitioners.
Same. I wouldn't want somebody's first relationship with me to be a cold. And I get those texts from people. It just seems silly to me, but
I just don't know. I mean, I know it takes time to make the attorney relationships, And, you know, I'm just wondering what to do with this list as what do I do with it?
Well, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to do something with it. So I don't know how to answer that question, right? It, just because there's a jar of pickles in the refrigerator doesn't mean you have to eat them. It just means there's a jar of pickles in the refrigerator. So what you do with the data, I don't know necessarily that's the right question. The right question always is, what should I be doing to generate value for customers so that I get more business? And again, I think that should be the question. And what value can you create for those people? And then if you have something of value, invite them. For example, you could put on a webinar, how to effectively navigate probate from a petitioner's perspective. And invite them and say, hey, I noticed that you're filed a probate. And I'm not here to solicit you other than invite you to a free webinar or have a tool on how to effectively navigate your probate business. I think you'd find most people, when you call them, say, well, my attorney's handling it. I'm not really interested. Some people might appreciate that phone call. It depends on how well you do with it. Again, cold calling to me is one question. I don't recommend it because I don't do it. And I don't think that's the right approach. I don't think that's the right approach in 2024. I think it's the right approach for companies to sell data. Oh, sure, let me back up. I think it's the right approach for companies who all they have to sell is data to tell you you should cold call. I'm not selling any data. I'm just a colleague trying to help you. I think that I see too many real estate agents spend years not working their own database. For example, let me ask you, Sherry, if you don't mind my asking, how long have you been in real estate?
3 years.
I'm sorry, how many?
3.
How many people in your database? And for the rest of you listening, imagine I'm asking you the same questions.
Yeah, well, I have a few different databases.
So here's the first clue. Hold on a second. Yeah. Here's the first clue. The answer is a number. The fact that you don't have a number tells me you're not tied into that number properly, just for what it's worth, right?
I mean, are you talking social media? Are you talking in my CRM? Are you talking?
Sure, your CRM. How many people could you email out to today? If I said to you, send an email to everybody you know, like, and trust, how many people would that be to?
That I don't know.
That number is, I think, one of the key metrics of your business. And second, you should be doing that every week, something of value to them. And third, you can add in content related to probate if that's what you want to build. Like, here's what I do to help families in probate. Like, here's a way to avoid probate with estate planning. Like, hey, if you're in probate and the expenses are getting you down, here's a way you can advance yourself some money early before you get court approval. And so I think that most real estate agents miss that tool and are so busy cold calling strangers and figuring out the right script and the right text and the right postcard that they end up with strangers, which is hard to work with rather than people who know, like, and trust you. And I will share with you the best attorney I work with who's given me the most business in the last 5 years and the best consumer who referred me the biggest business, both were in my database. Now, I went to court every day and I did a lot of prospecting and mailing and I did some cold calling, but the best business by far was in my database. So I'm not just saying this, and I'm not anti, you know, cold calling. I just feel like, why would you do that before you first built your system? And that way, everybody you cold call, you put in your system. So you have 50 people and you're going to send postcards and let's say 2 or 3 of them call you up every month. Well, now what do you do with them? Well, if you have a database system and you're emailing out content every week about real estate and you sprinkle in some probate information, at least you put those people in that system and they start seeing your emails or they see your YouTube or they see your Facebook or whatever. You're not doing that if you just cold call. And that's where the breakdown is. And I just had that experience with a lead of mine I talked to on Thursday last week. He goes, wow, I saw your YouTube. And I'm like, really? What a mystery. How did that happen? Well, because somehow Google figures out I have Google Mail and they connect with me and somehow it sends them a YouTube video. And next thing you know, they're watching my YouTube video. So that's the power of putting people in a database and connecting with them. Make sense?
Yeah, I guess I'm confused on what people in the database, because like my CRM has me these leads in there, has wholesalers in there, and has buyers in there.
Right. Send them all information. Every one of them should learn about real estate from Sherry. If you find something of value, so let me ask you, Share with me something interesting about real estate to you, something that you read recently or saw an email on from a company or a news source. Share just one thing you found interesting about real estate.
Recently?
Yeah. Mortgage rates or sales up, sales down, or something interesting.
Oh gosh, I don't know recently, really, to be honest with you. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Are sales up or down in your area of Michigan?
Down.
They're down a lot or a little bit?
Probably medium, to be honest with you.
Are they down more in the high price houses, more in the low price houses across the board?
Across the board. You know, we're coming.
Okay. Now stop for a second. Stop. Notice how interested you are in this conversation now. So what, I'm sure you read something about sales being down. Why not share that with your database? You follow me? Like you read an article on whatever news or whatever website that said sales were down, and you're getting ready to explain this to me. I wanted to stop you because you're on the right track. But whatever triggered that in you, why not share that with your customers? You follow me? So if you got an email from any source or news article you saw on any source that sales are down, why not share that with everybody in your database once a week? And then maybe, and I say share, just write a couple sentences. Hey, I saw this article in Yahoo News, MarketWatch, Fox News, whatever. Sales are down by 34% in the greater, whatever, South Haven area. And call me for details. And then you also could do a short video and say the same thing and link to the thing there. So now you have an email, you have a Facebook video, you have a YouTube short, all based on something that you find interesting. Not me, that you find interesting. Share that with everybody, every buyer, seller, wholesaler, realtor, funeral director, probate attorney. They'd all be interested. Does that make sense? No?
Yeah. I mean, I went through this with my background screening business, and you know, it's almost like you have to hire somebody to do that stuff for you.
No. This is the core. So let me help dispel that. And for those of you listening, I'm sure some of you went there as well. No, don't hire somebody to communicate with your customers. That's your primary job. Your primary job in sales is connecting with your customers. So your job is to figure out what they would be interested in and share them that information. So again, when I ask you the question, maybe you go back and watch this video. When I ask a question about sales down, you started with such passion and conviction, and like you really wanted to share that with me.
Now, I mean, buyers might be interested in that, but my potential sellers aren't going to be interested in that. You know,
that's an interesting belief.
Three different types of people.
That's an interesting belief you have. So sellers don't care that the market is slow in your area?
Oh, yeah.
Of course they care. And by the way, what percentage of sellers buy in the area? Half?
What percentage of sellers buy in the area?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They sell one house, they buy another. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's smaller. Maybe it's different.
Half of them are to get out of Michigan because I don't like winters.
Okay. Half are to get out of Michigan. How about the half to stay in Michigan? See, again, this is the fallacy I think we have. And here's the other part. It's not just information about the real estate sales. They could subscribe to the news channel for that. These are people who know, like, and trust you and want to hear what you have to say about the real estate market because they know, like, and trust you. They don't know, like, and trust their news as much as they know, like, and trust you. And you want to play the role of being their greeter, their tour guide through the real estate market. And you want them to tune into you and what you have to say. And we miss that opportunity as real estate agents. And we turn it over to Redfin and Zillow, and they're glad to take it from us. And we turn it over to AI. But the truth is, neither Redfin or Zillow or AI will ever be as good as we will be. What you said about going into somebody else, Redfin is going to be better than that other person. They won't be as good as you. This is one of our core activities, is communicating with our customers. One of the most important things we do is communicate with customers. And social media gives a chance to leverage that over many people. Okay, I think I've beaten this topic up a little bit with you, Sherry. So I don't mean to make it into a beat-up session, but I'm thinking of other people listening to this. This is the same discussion she and I are having. Every agent that struggles I ever talked to has the exact same problem. And you have to get that your customers need, want your leadership. They want your direction. They want you to share with them what's important, what's not. Because where would you get news today in real estate? Who would you turn to? If not Sherry, if you live in South Haven, or Bill Gross, if you're in LA, where would you get your real estate information from? Most of it's such junk today. The only times it's just junk. It's just advertisement, you know, fake news as advertisement, really. And our job as agents is to lead our customers by giving them good information, showing them the bad information and pointing out why it's bad, or giving them the good information. And they want it. And yes, our buyers want it, our sellers want it, wholesalers want it, vendors want it, your mortgage lenders want it, your realtor competitors want it. And the more people you can share information with, the more powerful you're going to be. So I don't know. That's a long discussion on that topic, Sherry. I didn't mean to draw out too much. Does that make some sense at all?
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll move on a little bit. But thank you for playing with that with me. In the notes, I see they're not going to lower interest rates this year. So Connie, for Sarah, says not going to lower interest rates. And Connie says 6% great rates mean the economy is healthy. Connie and Sarah, both those are two good things you can send out to your customers, right? Sarah could write out, they're not going to lower interest rates, so why do you think that's true? And Connie could write why 6% and 7% rates are great and why that means the economy is healthy. So again, I think that we need to have a targeting message. So, okay, so some of you have any other questions.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong, Sarah, with segmenting your emails as well. I just think you should have one weekly piece to everybody. That's not about, hey, list with me or sell with me. It's, I'm your resource for information about the market. I'm your finger on the pulse of the market. I'm the expert in the field who can give you real world information, because that's really what you're doing. And for those of you who say, well, who am I to say that? I would just remind you from the movie Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio, where he plays a famous criminal who impersonated a lot of different people, including a high school substitute teacher, Frank Abagnale. When they asked him, Frank, well, you're in high school. How do you pretend being a high school teacher when you're in high school? He said, what I realized was the kids in school, as long as I knew one chapter ahead of them, I was the teacher. You as a realtor don't need to know everything about real estate. You just need to know one more piece of information than your customers don't, and deliver that to them, and they'll appreciate it. Is that deceptive? That's called giving value to your customers. So Sarah, once you have a email that you can send out to all your clients, then I might look into segmenting buyers and sellers and so on. But I think for now, you want as wide an audience as you can, and you need to build out the top of the funnel. And that's the purpose of that email. Okay. Got a lot onto that topic. Wow. Other questions, comments? I see some hand clapping. Thank you. I always appreciate being told I'm right. So thank you so much. Was I my soapbox too much today? I don't know. I spent this morning with two or three coaching calls with different agents who are struggling with the same topic. And I just hear the same thing over and over again. And to me, the solution is so plain and right in front of us. And I hope to help you guys move in that direction. Other questions, comments? Thank you, Connie. No? We can wrap up if we don't. We have a smaller group today than normal. I think because the marketing email, I don't see Lou on the call either, but I don't think the marketing email went out. So unless you guys have any other questions or comments, maybe we'll wrap up. Just to go back to where we are, this is the coaching call for probatemastery.com.
And there you'll find three different tracks. There's a basics track, which is free. We're going to get certified in probate real estate, a certification program. I think the best in the business, not the easiest or fastest, but gives you the best perspective of the industry. In my experience, I've taken, I think, four or five of them, lost track of them. And the course bundles, individual classes you can take as well to supplement your information. And then there's a Facebook community. You can go to Estate Professionals Mastermind, where we'll continue the conversation, promote future events, as well as feel free to reach out for referrals or of realtors and or attorneys. My name is Bill Gross. I host probateweekly.com, probateweekly.com. And if you go there, you'll get pushed to this page and put in your email address, and you'll sign up and get reminders on that. That's a weekly call I do Thursdays at 4 p.m., which is an interview format with usually attorneys. Last week was with a great real estate agent. And here's the audio version and the YouTube version if you scroll down. Then I host probateweekly.com. I'm sorry, Probate Weekly in Facebook. You can continue the conversation there. Also, you can post your probate-related content inside my Facebook group to get more likes and clicks and all that good stuff. So I'm at Bill Gross Probate on social media. You can call, text, or email and reach out to me. This is Probate Mastery. We do this every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time at probatemastery.com. Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic week. I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.